You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance a Kicks or Cash Tie to receive up to three payments on them. Finance rates from 0% on select Cash Ties. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca. Google Home, Alexa, podcast, everywhere. Overdrive.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Jack Armstrong from the Scotiabank Arena in about 20 minutes, teeing up the game tonight. Raptors, 27 games left to go. They're coming off a nine-day break. And generally, I would say the break not showing up at the best of times when you've won 15 of your past 16. But I think this team has proven, like, speed bumps don't really apply to the Raptors. When you consider everything they've overcome.
They're a gritty group. Like, I don't think there's a lot of ego there. I mean, if there is, it's well earned. But I think they know exactly how to play. They've got that championship pedigree. You know, there's a swagger without being cocky, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, they've got a nice swagger about them, but they work hard. They get to work. That group doesn't cheat you for effort.
No, I'm not expecting like a hangover tonight, like a Cabo hangover tonight.
No, it might be sloppy. It'd be a sloppy game, but it would be on both sides.
But they're not going to get outworked, exactly. Like, no. Phoenix is on the other end of the spectrum. They're kind of a young... They've been a bit of a tire fire for a while, actually. They've been very irrelevant for quite some time. But they're through their break, and this is probably a test for Phoenix to prove that they're professional, because I could see them being like, we got 25 games to go, our season's done,
right.
The U-Haul has been booked,
yeah.
Toronto's good, you know, like, yeah. This one I could see the difference between a professional team that knows, okay, yeah, we had our break, we had our fun.
Yeah, let's dig in.
Let's go now. We got 27 games. We want to prove that we're actually true believers in catching Milwaukee, even though I don't think it's reasonable whatsoever, but I'm fine with having a goal, go for it,
yeah,
and having some sort of a mission. But Phoenix, on the other hand, may be like, nah, I had a lot of fun, and I'm still kind of hungover, and I don't really want to play another 25 games.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing, getting back to the Maple Leaf scenario from earlier in the week, is, like, this is generally when the teams that are contenders and real deal Holyfield type operations are like, okay, it's go time now.
Dig in, yeah.
Where the bad teams are like, nah, like, yeah, I'll give you an effort, but if you squeeze me, I'm going to shut up.
I find I'm going to shut the mill down. Like, it's, you know, we were complaining and going nuts about the Leafs, and then, like, you look where they're at. To get to that point where you're comfortable, you're like Tampa, man. You go on a run where it's like 15 in a row, you got to get 10 in a row. Like, they dominate for 2 months. And that puts them in a position. That's what you have to do nowadays.
Yeah, and the league is just...
There's nowhere like the teams that are hovering. Oh, we still got a chance. Hovering around mediocrity is like, oh, we're done.
Well, that's why...
That's what it is now. You got to be dominant.
You've been pointing out five or six teams, really? Four out east and...
That I consider like legit
cup contenders? Yeah, like legit. Like, yes. If you... Today, game 62.
Yes, six versus the field. Clearly, the six are heavy favorites for one of them to be hoisting the Stanley Cup.
But you've got about six at the top, 16. Now, different variations in the middle.
Yep.
And then you're, you know, the rest.
Teams that know they're done and have been done.
And that's, you know, really what you're seeing. And then it's who in that middle group is going to decide, okay, we want to push up. Like, we want to get closer to the top. And you know, the Leafs can be a team. And Florida can be a team. Like, there's a few. Winnipeg, I still believe, can be a team there. Like, Calgary has had, you know, some wild inconsistency. Like, I think that I have no idea, but I think that they would be proactive at the deadline.
Oh, I would. By all accounts, I mean, Sarah Valley was writing that today on TSN.ca. And you hear this all the time with Brad Treliving, all the time.
Yeah,
he's working the phone.
He's a working general manager.
Yeah.
You feel like he's in on everything.
Yeah, but he's obviously not in on everything, because there have been a lot of trades and none of them have featured the Calgary Flames. Doesn't mean he's not aware of them, but he's maybe not willing to pay the price, or doesn't have the price to be paid. But you mentioned Tampa, and they lost in Vegas last night.
Yeah.
And we had this conversation earlier off the air about the home ice advantage for Vegas. And I think what's crazy about it is it's an advantage more so against the best teams than the worst teams, because the best teams, I think, roll into Vegas and they're like, Who cares if we lose? Like, yeah, we've won 15 of our last 17.
We got a buffer. We don't, you know.
We have a buffer, exactly. Like, I think that factored with the Raptors forever in that afternoon game. Like, when the Bulls won 72 games, one of the 10 losses was against the Raptors. The Raptors were abysmal. But I think they looked at it like New City, Toronto.
Late night.
You know, there were some establishments that were being visited where the bad teams are like, we can't really do that. It'll look bad on us.
We don't have that margin.
Yeah. We have to be professional in Vegas.
I still want to hear, like, somebody from that Bulls team that won 72 that, you know, what that night went
through. Oh, that'd be the greatest.
Like, you know what? Jordan has a tell all. Or, you know.
I don't think that's happening.
I know, but. You know what I mean.
You never really hear about the old stories of Jordan, not publicly.
Right.
You know, not anything on the record, which, because you hear it about, like, a lot of professional athletes.
Right.
In terms of what they can get up to, what they've been doing.
And a lot of rumblings.
Nothing illegal or salacious or anything. But
there's,
like,
rumblings. There's always rumblings around. I mean, Tiger was the most.
Well, Tiger got exposed and then
afterwards,
it all came
out.
Like, once it came out, then it was like, all right, now everything's coming out. I got a story. You know, I heard when he was in town. And
Sometimes there are, in pro sports, the worst kept secrets, where it's like, okay, it's known in that city. So it may be in Chicago, everyone knew what potentially a guy like Jordan was up to, but nobody, you know, the city protected him, technically. I don't think that would happen in today's world. It's just too many camera phones, too many people that want to make a difference online.
Well, speaking of that, you hear about this Hall & Oates character, John Oates?
I like them, though.
I like them, too. But why do they need to come out and announce
that they're Wilt Chamberlain?
How many takedowns?
Yeah, like, John Oates claiming, this is when it's so arrogant and unbelievable in the truest form. When you're like, oh, I can't even keep count anymore. Probably thousands. So John Oates, who had the mustache, dark hair.
He did have the mustache.
Oh, it's no wonder.
Because of the mustache, the icebreaker, and the deal closer all in one.
He's a guitar guy, too.
Yeah, so he has decided to go on some sort of a tour in terms of, you know, talking about his endeavors back in the 70s and 80s. And he claims,
it's not even singing? He's just talking about the endeavors?
Yeah, he's talking. He said
Q&A?
He said, I don't know where he said it or what the whole, where it came from, but he claims he has slept with thousands of women. Hall & Oates. John Oates says he's had sex with thousands of women. Quote, unquote, I've lost track.
Well, it's
which is that saying that comment makes me really debate the legitimacy of it.
But he's
I've lost
old
track
goat right now. What is he trying to get out of that? Like,
love the headline here. John Oates doesn't quite remember how many kisses were on his list. Do you remember the song Kiss on My List? That's awesome.
That's actually a pretty good
headline. Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up based on what you just said is that was one thing that Oates had to say. It's like back in the 70s and 80s, there was no social media, no one had cameras, so I guess he was like
running amok.
We were more free to do whatever the hell we wanted, and everyone was cool with that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now everything's about, you know, can I get a picture first, and then
drop your phone at the front door.
Well, I mean,
but that's the way, like, the celebrities at the highest level party with security guards, and it's like no phones allowed. Like, there is.
The Jeter.
Now I'm getting into stories, but I have heard stories about when, like, NBA teams roll into town.
Yeah,
they set up shop at certain places, and it's like private party, but every phone is right at the front.
Yeah,
and
that's fine.
No, exactly. There's nothing illegal about it, but that's why it's like, oh, I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anything. Yeah, because there's a full blown operation, and you're not getting in, and no one is going to detail what's going on.
The scary part, though, is all the phones are put away, but the establishment have cameras in the room.
They know who's in there.
They, you know,
but they're also making like $250,000 night.
That's how
in
Tristan
bottles
Thompson got himself into trouble a couple of years ago. He was at a nightclub.
The Kardashian, or not with the Kardashian.
Cheating on the Kardashian.
A friend of his.
Yeah, that's right. That's allegedly exactly what happened to Tristan Thompson. He was at some club in like Washington, D.C. or something.
And he was having a good time.
Yes.
I think they got him on the way out as well. Like, it wasn't just on the couch. I don't think the couch was the kill shot, so to speak, in terms of the relationship. I think it was the video of them getting in the Uber that probably put an end to things.
Didn't go so well.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Khloe Kardashian these days. She back in the dating game,
Grappler, or what? I don't track.
Why, they're not together anymore?
No, I don't believe they are.
Don't they have a kid together?
Yeah, they do. They do. But as far as I know, Tristan Thompson is... He's not
single.
With the Kardashians anymore.
Well, good for him. He escaped that family.
He's got to get out of Cleveland now.
Yeah,
great. You got out of the Kardashian
clan,
but now get out of the Cleveland clutch. Because I think that was the hope that he'd be bought out and maybe move on.
That's a camel clutch there.
That
for
is.
Sure.
You're stuck in Cleveland.
A tough go.
Well, now, you know, they got a new coach and John Boeheim. We talked about that yesterday. Do you see Barkley rip into the Cavs? Great audio on TNT where he asked for some time on the panel. He's like, do I have time? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. Just carved them about the way they treated Boeheim, because by all accounts, it was kind of a mutiny in the room. And they were like, we don't like this guy. And he works us too hard and all that. So
there was the thug allegations. And then every song they wanted to play, they had to use the word thug in it. And
yes. And he said the word, and it was a slip up. And, you know, he immediately, apologized or tried to explain it. And, which I believe. I mean, he's been around basketball players and black basketball players his whole life. I don't think he's going to slip up in that nature on purpose.
Right.
You know, personally, I didn't believe that that was the case. But it's not for me to react to it one way or the other. I'm not in that room. But then, yeah, to your point, they were playing, whenever he'd step into the room, like Thug Mansion would be playing by Tupac, or like different songs with the word thug in it. And then they were... like, basically saying, we're not going to play for him. And Barkley just carved him. He's like, you guys have won 14 games.
Yeah, who do you think
you are? Who the hell are you to demand anything and to complain that he works you too hard or that you watch too much video?
Was there any fallout after that? Like, to me, that sounds amazing. I missed that, but that sounds amazing. Like,
it was
Barkley
typical
shoots
Barkley.
From the hip.
It was typical Barkley. And he said it. He's like, listen, when it's time to light up a coach, I'll be the first one to light up a coach. But when it's time to light up the players, I'll light up the players.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. He's like, Cleveland, you guys are a bunch of losers. Yeah. Like,
I love it.
Just took an opportunity to carve up the Cavaliers.
He does have some epic rants.
We talked about it the other day. No LeBron, it's last place. It's last place. It's a joke.
Right. It is. And they're bad. And I'm sure they know they're bad. But if a coach is like, how about we do some extra video work today?
Yeah.
Or, hey, instead of that off day, we're going to get back in the gym and
we're going to try and get
better. Some X's and O's.
If I ever had players rebel after bringing that to the table as far as video or extra work, I would go and grab my stuff out of my office and I would exit stage left. I just wouldn't be dealing with it.
Yeah.
No way.
Well,
it's your job.
Exactly. And you're paid handsomely for it. Like, it's your job anyway, regardless of what your job is. You're expected to do the job. But imagine making like $20 million a year.
Saying, no way I'm doing video.
Yeah, and you've got 14 wins. You're 14 and 40. You make $20 million and you're like, this guy sucks. Like, this guy, he's working me too hard. I refuse. Like, it just... And Barkley's an old school guy, and that is the,
It doesn't take an old school guy to recognize that and recognize that nonsense.
No, I don't dispute that. But listen... That's the era we live in now. Like, the coaching has changed, and Boeheim is in his 60s, and he was a college guy, probably trying to apply college methods. I'm not saying he was going to work long-term there.
No.
Maybe they were going to get rid of him at the end of the year anyway, but that should have been management and ownership that made that decision, not the players being like, I'm not going to play for him, basically. Anyway, we'll get Jack Armstrong in here live from Scotiabank ahead of the game tonight. Phoenix in town, so we'll tee up the game with him, and Markieff Morris, again, was bought out, and instead of coming to the Raptors, by all accounts, the Raptors were in on him. He decided to sign with the Lakers. So the Clippers got a couple of buyout guys. The Lakers have a buyout guy.
Yeah.
They're loading up in L.A. See what Jack has to say about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. Monday's a big show. Trade Center on TSN all day. And we're going to have full coverage on TSN Radio, starting with First Up at 6 a.m., all the way through Overdrive at 7. And one thing we will make sure to happen, I don't care if the Leafs trade Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Morgan Riley, Freddie Anderson, fire Sheldon Keefe, sell the team, and they move to Keswick
Yes.
Al's brother and his fastest 10 seconds of sports.
He's going to be on the show on Monday?
He's happening on Monday.
Really? Yes.
An XFL report will be happening on Monday. I don't care about any of the other news. The fastest 10 seconds in sports.
He will be on fire.
Will be happening. You good, Al's brother? All right, buddy.
We'll be
Thumbs
on TV,
up.
Right? We should get him to wear a turtleneck.
Yeah, that maybe should be
that
a...
That should be his trademark.
Kind of a general rule.
The trademark turtleneck. Like the neck brace one. The one with like the thickest
yeah,
neck you've
really,
ever seen.
It's like an Uggs
yeah.
level.
He had a lather on that one day. I'm not going to
Well, under the
lie.
Lights. It can get hot. Like the temperature fluctuates in here. Every yeah. day you have no
not
idea.
Not his fault.
Today it's cold. It's freezing.
It is cold.
Tomorrow it'll be really warm. But you get warmth, a little bit of nerves.
I think
and
that
a
was like his first. Was it like his first time on?
I think
or
no, because he
time,
came
cause
in
he
for Johnny,
Johnny
that one time.
The handshake.
And he was very comfortable that time.
Very handshake. Very comfortable.
One of the all-time great handshakes caught on TV. Johnny, like, meet Al's brother.
Yeah.
Johnny was like, "Who is this character?"
Al's
awesome.
Brother.
It was awesome. What, Al's brother needs his own T-shirt.
What a beautician.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get him his own T-shirt. He needs his whole new brand, you know. You know what he should do tomorrow? I'm going to be up in your neck of the woods tomorrow at the big Blue Mountain 24-hour. Yeah.
You got to tell Brian that I'm not there. I'm coming up tomorrow late in the day.
So, Brian Stemmel, Stemmel's got a busy day apparently today or tomorrow. He's going to be up at Blue Mountain in the morning. Then he's got to come down and do some TV work for
really?
A big ski event. And then he's going back up to
to
Collingwood. So, yeah, shout out. And it's a great event. It's for the Special Olympics Ontario. It's going to be awesome.
I'm giving my best.
There. I will. And courtesy of yourself, Noodles, Al's brother, the grappler,
sure.
Mullen, everybody. And I'll be up there tomorrow. So if you're up at Blue Mountain or up in Collingwood, I'm going to be up there on the mic. Matty Cause will be up there tomorrow as
nice.
Well. So it's going to be a blast up there in Blue Mountain. 24 hours of skiing.
Leaving the city? Are you like out, like going right home?
Well, I'm starting to regret that, I'll be honest. Like I probably should have gone up tonight. But I'm leaving tomorrow morning, and I guess I'm coming home tomorrow night.
You could come over and watch the Leaf game.
I was thinking about that. Are you going to be home tomorrow night?
Wheel.
Okay. Can we order some food?
Wings.
Oh, I could make a pit stop. If the doors are open, you got to let me know.
7 o'clock game. You could be out of there by 9:40.
Yeah, I'll come by for the game, have some food, and then make a decision at that point.
Love it.
Thanks.
It's not going to happen.
No, no. I'll be having a nap by 2 p.m. on this couch.
No, I think I'm there until... I'm there all day. Like, I am fully committed.
So you
it's
will
like,
be
dude,
buckled.
They're skiing all day, all night. Like, it's a full event. It's
How's your
for
knee
going to
hold up?
I'm not going to be skiing.
Okay.
I'm not skiing. I was thinking about that. I want to ski. I got the itch to ski.
I'd like you to see... you'd be knee brace guy on the outside of your pants.
Which is the worst look in fashion.
It
There's
is.
No worse look than someone... I almost stepped on someone... They were at the Leaf game last night. It wasn't intentional, and I missed right. them. I was coming out of the bathroom. They were walking in full leg brace.
Oh.
Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, a full leg brace.
Was they must in a wheelchair? Or like
No. Like, I shouldn't say it was all the way up to the hip, but it was, like, up to the kneecap, basically.
Crutches?
Like, no. Walking cast or walking boot. I don't even know how it was possible. But came this close, like a half inch from stepping on it. And what do you do if you step on someone's cast?
You just apologize.
You run away.
What if you run? There goes Brian Hayes
so
from Overdrive.
I know. But it was obviously not my fault. It's you know what how busy it is down there
it
at Scotiabank.
Quite busy.
Do we have Jack on the line? All right. Speaking of Scotiabank, we got the Raptors back in action tonight. It's been a long 9 days. I wonder if Jack's been in Buffalo. Was he down in New York?
He's been Cabo somewhere with Kawhi.
Maybe he was in Cabo with Kawhi Leonard wearing an Armstrong jersey.
Exactly.
Here's our Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. What have you been up to the past week and a half?
I got back last night. I have a place in Delray Beach, Florida. So I was down there for a full week, and I got in last night and back to work here this evening.
Beautiful.
So I had a nice relaxing break. It was fun.
I like it. And... I don't think this break is going to affect the Raptors at all. I think it will affect Phoenix tonight. You know, you get a team that's young, that's not very good. They probably enjoyed having the time off. I could see them kind of being like, do we really have to play the final 25 games? But Raptors are so professional. You know, yeah, they were 15-1 prior to the break, but I expect them to pick up where they left off. What do you expect out of them tonight?
I hope you're right. You know, it's funny. When I landed last night, I looked at the fact that the Miami Heat lost to Atlanta and Trae Young had 50 points. And immediately I thought of this game tonight, and I'm saying to myself, Devin Booker could easily drop 60 on you. You know, he's that good. And you worry about, you know, these games right after the All-Star break are always really dicey for teams. And, you know, whose mind, and you guys all know this, whose mind is still on the beach and on the good times that you had. And, you know, a lot of times, particularly when you're a good team, everyone's patting you on the back and telling you how good you are. And, you know, a lot of times you need to be around your peers every day to keep you humble. Whereas when you're around people that don't really know, they start filling you with you-know-what. So to me, the first game back always scares the you-know-what out of me. And so tonight, in spite of the fact that Phoenix is a young team and kind of playing out the string a little bit, they're also super dangerous because they are playing out the string to a degree. Guys are playing for jobs and respect, and they're going to play loose and easy and shoot it up and not have any real concern about anything. So you got to be dialed in defensively and not try to just outscore people. You got to be really ready to play and be blue collar and get after it.
Jack, from a coaching perspective, how do you handle that? Do you just say, guys, let's be prepared and go out there and you guys can dictate how this is going to go? If you're going to sleepwalk through this, you're going to have an angry coach. And if you perform and you're intense, there's not going to be an issue. How do you make sure or get their attention that it's time to get back to work?
Well, I think the reality is younger guys and guys that don't play enough, it's opportunity for them. Like you look at tonight, as we know, Marcus Gasol, Norm Powell won't play. Patrick McCaw is not going to play tonight either. He's suffering the flu. So now you have three of your top eight guys in your rotation not playing. So, again, if you're Terrence Davis, if you're Matt Thomas, guys like that, you're like, hey, man, you know, I want time, I want touches, I want an opportunity. If you're Chris Boucher, you're saying, hey, the same thing. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. So to me, those are the guys that kind of drive the bus a little bit because they're saying, hey, man, here's another opportunity knocking on my door. And then you hope that, you know, your all-stars like Siakam and Lowry show the way and with their professionalism and a guy like Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby. And again, you know, the Raptors are at their best when they're really guarding, getting out in transition and playing off their defense. Well, guess what? They're playing a team that's similar to them tonight in Phoenix in terms of if you look at these two teams in terms of turnover margin and how fast they try to play and how they try to score off their defense, they're almost mirror images of each other. So that part of the game is going to be big tonight. And the thing that feeds the offense is blue-collar defense. So, again, having that mentality and, you know, not going away from who you are and what you're all about.
With Jack Armstrong ahead of the game tonight, Raptors taking on the Suns. You can watch it on TSN. They're saying the right things about wanting to catch Milwaukee, but let's be honest, it's not going to happen. And it's not that the Raptors can't run off, you know, a 22-5 run, but that's not even going to cut it because chances are Milwaukee's going to do the same thing. Milwaukee's gone, but it's them in Boston, right? Like you mentioned, Miami lost last night. Miami is now 5 back of the Raptors. Raps are a game and a half up on Boston. Boston has a game in hand. That's pretty much the whole stretch run for me. How do you see that playing out, Jack?
I guess, you know, the Raptors have 3 games against Milwaukee, 2 of them here at home. I mean, so that could swing things a little bit, you know, if they're able to obviously win those 3. I mean, that changes everything. Then the dynamics of the remaining games for both teams. But with that being said, and I respect your thought, you know, you never want to concede. The reality is, with your mindset, and looking at, you know, the 2-3 situation, I see where you're coming from, and I understand it, and there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, the Raptors have spoken a lot about, you know, getting healthy, maintaining health, being ready when things go for real after April 15th. The challenge is, you know, if you get the 2 seed, and you look at where Brooklyn's at right now with Kyrie being out for the remainder of the season, you know, it's either going to be Brooklyn or Orlando in that 7 spot. And, you know, you talk about wear and tear and taxing in the first round. You'd rather that than have to deal with an Indiana or Philadelphia in the first round, because now you got to go through three killer series to get where you want to get to, and that's back to the finals. And if you remember a year ago, the Raptors at the two seed got to play Orlando in the first round and won in five games. That stuff helps. And if you're not at full strength, at least you can get through maybe a first-round series without being 100% and hope to be raring to go in the second round. So it's a, you know, and then if you don't get it and you're the three seed, then you got to start off with a tough first-round matchup. And if you do win it, now you're automatically playing a team as, you know, without home court. And, you know, we know that one game wrestles home court away pretty quick. But nonetheless, you're playing a team like the Celtics that, you know, has that cachet and all that, even though you're the defending champion. I'd rather be in the driver's seat, and I'd rather be the two seed and not have to deal with an incredibly crazy first-round opponent and not have to deal with giving up home court to a team like the Celtics, where, you know, you always worry about how the whistle goes and what agendas are in place. So to me, control your own destiny. The tough part is you have a tough schedule. Boston's got a tough schedule. You've got some guys that are still nursing injuries and issues, but somehow, some way, you got to get to the finish line and find a way, if you can, to get healthy, maintain health, and try to get that two seed, and who knows, maybe give Milwaukee a run for the money down the stretch.
Well, yeah, you sound like you kind of disagree with me, Jack. Like I
I was picking up on what you have to say, but
it's not that I don't think the Raptors have it in them to run off 22 wins, and maybe three of them are against Milwaukee. But then I think Milwaukee wins 19, and it's still not enough. Like, there's seven. Milwaukee's on pace for 70 wins.
No. I respect what you're saying. My thing is,
this doesn't agree.
No. Things can change really quick. Let's say you do beat them three times head to head, and then, you know, you go on a two-game winning streak, and they go lose two in a row, and suddenly, you know, you just in a span of five, six games, it can evaporate. And even though you might win a ton and all, I mean, I understand the mathematics of it, but sometimes when you just put a little pressure on a team, it changes how you play and it changes how they play. And again, the likelihood, I totally with you, the likelihood is that they're going to get the one. It's going to be hard for Toronto or Boston or anybody to catch them. I think the reality for Toronto more than anything else is trying to be that two seed if at all possible, because I think it's a much better path, particularly the type of team they are, to get back to the East Finals and have another rematch with a team like Milwaukee, or who knows, you know, maybe somebody in their bracket can beat them, which is all definitely possible, because those teams that theoretically today are in their bracket, Miami and Philadelphia, in my opinion, could beat them.
How much faith do you have in Marc Gasol at some point returning to 100%, but also looking fresh, you know, like he did once he got picked up for the most part last year at the trade deadline? He didn't look so fresh even when he was healthy earlier in the year. They're going to need him, but I know that's the hope. But what's your stance on that?
I tell you what, when he came back the first time from this hamstring issue, he wasn't good. He was very good to excellent almost every night. So to me, I think they want to make sure he gets back to being that very good to excellent player who's fresh as a daisy and playing at a high level, and he's not worrying about anything, and he's just playing. So if that takes a few extra days or whatever the case may be, I have no idea what the timeline is. And as you know, in professional sports today, you don't believe a thing you hear anyway. You just, if they're in uniform, great. If they're not, you have no control over it. I don't know nothing. I don't ask. If Phoenix has five and Toronto has five tonight, I can do my job. The other stuff, I can't worry about it because you have no control over it. But to me, I think they want to make sure when he comes back, he's bursting at the seams and playing at a high level. And again, I think if you can get him back to playing the way he was just a few weeks ago before he got hurt, I'll sign up for that right now.
Well, it starts tonight with Phoenix in town. We look forward to it. Enjoy it, Jack. Good to have you back on, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Guys, my pleasure. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Jack Armstrong, a Raptors analyst.
Disagreed with you.
Yeah, he, even when I circle back, he's like, no, I respect your ridiculously awful take. But,
I don't think it's an awful take.
Well, I just think I'm being reasonable. Like, Milwaukee...
They won 15 games in a row, and they couldn't make up ground.
Yeah, Milwaukee's 7 games up on them, and...
That's crazy, though.
They're on pace for, like, again, 70 wins. Like, even if the... And listen, Jack mapped out a possibility. You beat them 3 times.
Right.
And then they lose a game or two. And then you get into the stretch run where it's like, all right, guys, like...
It's not happening.
But it's not... Like, it's so impossible to believe that it could happen.
That's right.
Well, he just said it. They won 15 games in a row and didn't make up
any
ground.
Didn't make up any room on Milwaukee. So, focus on the 2 seed. You know, strive for the 1 seed because that's going to keep you, rejuvenated, keep you energized. That's a goal. You know, no one has a goal of finishing second, but in this case, that's the best case scenario for
I respect your opinion.
Like, just... Thank you. Thank you.
He said it a couple times, like double down Jack. On it, too. Yep. I agree. We all love Jack. He's the best.
Doing his thing in Florida, man. He's back.
Man,
we'll see.
Can you imagine some of the stories that are coming out? Like, you get nine days?
They were gone for 9 days. But they've been practicing for a couple. So they basically had a full six days off. Let's say 5 full days without travel or anything. You're just somewhere for 5 full days with $20 million cash in a bank.
Yeah, you can do some damage.
I would love to know some of the stories.
Yeah.
Because it's not enough time. You're not going to Europe or anything like that. So you're probably
you're
Florida,
warm.
Mexico, Vegas, maybe California.
I want to know who went to Vegas.
Me
Vegas,
too.
5 days is too long. If you're doing that, like, three is a stretch. 2 is probably perfect. But it's a 48-hour binge.
In and out on the front end. You can't do it on the back end.
No.
You do it, and then you basically just sweat everything out for 3 days and then show back up in town.
We did a bachelor party 2 days in L.A., 2 days in Vegas.
No.
And we crawled out of L.A., and our buddy Strudwick was on the trip. And I rented an entertainment bus from L.A. to Vegas instead of flying. It's supposed to be like 4 hours, three and a half. Well, it was 108 degrees out. And the entertainment bus had some issues and the AC went out.
I'm not getting on the bus.
We had some
I don't
issues.
Know how you do it. I don't know how you... Like, you guys would have had enough money to be like, forget it, we'll find a flight.
Guys were dying.
Or a new bus.
Until... We turned the corner, and then we saw the lights
sign?
Of Vegas. It was like...
Were you rolling in at night?
No, it was like... We left at, like, let's say we left at noon from L.A.
4 or 5 o'clock, you got
there. And it took us 6 hours to get from L.A. to Vegas, and it should have taken us 4, but we had some issues.
Right.
So we ended up stopping, having a couple drinks. But it was... We had this entertainment bus that had, PSP or whatever that at the games were at that time. Stopped at a gas station, grabbed some drinks, and thought we could just kind of battle it out. And then it was so hot. Like, it was 106, and then at certain areas in the desert, it was
Death
like 112.
And stuff. Yeah, that's
and
disgusting.
There was the AC was working overtime.
Do you open the windows?
Like, no, you have to kind of stay in that box to try and keep anything in. But by the time we got to Vegas, it was like we got a shot
alive.
Of adrenaline.
Yeah. Well, it's like that. One of the great scenes in cinematic history is Swingers, when Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn drive from L.A. to Vegas.
Yeah.
And they're leaving L.A. and they're fired. They're like, we're doing it, baby. Come on, baby. Vegas, baby. And then they're just dead.
Yeah.
And they get over the hill. They see the lights. And
it is just
Vegas,
on.
Baby.
Yeah.
Vegas.
It was a good trip, but it was a grind to make it work, put it that way, the second night.
Frank Saravalli tweeting out. More trade bait talk on SportsCenter. I guess he just had a stand-up with our boy Rod Smith. And his belief is at least 4 teams have shown interest so far in Tyson Berry. Vancouver, Calgary, Vegas, and Carolina. Hmm. And he follows it up by saying, the only way Berry gets dealt is if Toronto finds a better fit on D or gets pieces to flip for a better fit. Hmm. Which I guess, I can't picture them trading him for a second-round pick and just saying... We're gonna play Liljegren.
No,
it might be. I guess you could potentially justify it. They've been trading away a lot of pieces, and it's not like Tyson Berry's been an impact guy. Even last night, I thought he was just okay.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was great.
But you need a veteran puck. Like they you need a Tyson Barrie or a player like that.
Yeah.
You like going in already on a defensive core that is thin without Morgan Riley. Now, you're going to get Morgan, I hope. I kind of am worried about the news
there. He's still in the walking boot. Like, he's right. Not even skating or anything. Like,
and you know what I think of Morgan. Like, I love him. Like, I just, and this team,
they miss
I don't
him.
Think we talk about how much they miss Morgan Riley.
Craig and I talked about that yesterday in the 6 p.m. hour. Even just having him around.
He's a great
leader. You know, like
leader.
Who he is in the room and how much.
He's the leader of the room.
Yeah. Not having him around. And he's an emotional type of player, too. He gets involved. He chirps a lot of times.
How do you think he would have been through this, you know, this nonsense the last couple of days?
Like, he would have stepped up,
I think
sure.
He would have been exactly. You know, and it's good. Like, you want him back as soon as possible, but you need him healthy. It's been a bit of a tough.
He's for sure done for the rest of the regular season.
No, I don't think he's done.
They're talking end of
at
March.
All, but they're saying the end of March. But even that is always a little bit dicey.
That's basically the season too. Playoffs start. Like,
yeah, they play two games in April.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
maybe he comes back for that final game against Montreal.
You hope
on Saturday
that
night.
Timeline is being very generous on the wrong way.
Right.
All of a sudden, he surprises you halfway through it.
Well, there's a lot of videos of Mikheyev out there skating and shooting. I don't know if he's shooting like a fully weighted puck. He may not be, and I don't know what to expect out of him. And he's a rookie. Like, I don't know what he would give you when he showed back up anyway.
Yeah.
But he was playing well when he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
And with Janssen out, if he can step in, I still think Engvall is a fourth-line player until...
Yeah, he can maybe
otherwise.
Give you top nine. He can maybe give you third line if he's playing well and playing smart. But that's where I come back to, you know.
Who do they have on the left wing? Like Malgin, I'm not convinced he's the guy.
But who's
left
out
wing,
there? Like Malgin, I thought he was all right yesterday.
He was fine. Like, I had no problem with him.
He's
but
got skill. He's got a little something that, you know, to me.
He got
the
to the front
of
the net on the Muzzin goal. But
I think he's fine. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you may need one more of those type of players to add to your group. You know, on that left side, maybe a veteran guy that has games that I'm not suggesting Tyler Ennis, but somebody like that that's on the cheap that can play and give you some goals at critical times, but who's got a 500-600 games in the league.
Well, maybe if a Barrie deal is going to happen, it could be a bigger deal where you'd have to add to it if you're the Leafs, but
right.
Maybe you're getting that out of both. Like, I don't know from a defensive standpoint who you're getting from Vancouver, Calgary, Carolina, Vegas. Like, who would they be looking for?
Vancouver, is it Stetcher? So Stetcher's a right-handed shot who we could talk to Ray more about it, but I watch Vancouver a lot. Like, Stetcher's a good skater, can advance the puck. To me, he's a guy who sometimes you get tired of a player in a market. Like, I know there's people in Vancouver that, you know, get on him.
Yeah.
I think he has his warts just like every other player. So Stetcher, you know, if it's Stetcher and something.
Mm-hmm. Well, trying to get a read on the value of Tyson Barrie is a perfect example of probably being, I guess, manipulated a little bit by the market.
Yeah, like think about it last year. Well, I guess
50-point guy, though. Yeah,
that's my point. In the market, he's brutal, and if you're lucky to get a fourth-round pick for him, I don't think the rest of the league looks at Tyson Barrie that way.
I agree. And I think placed in the right scenario where he is, you know, slotted with a stay-at-home guy, he can be the risk guy, he can be your quarterback on the power play, he can go to a team that maybe their power play is 18th in the league, and he can help get to 15th.
Yeah, maybe a different scenery for him
exactly.
Also jolts him, right? That's what you'd be expecting,
yeah.
I would assume.
But you'd have to bring back somebody who could do what he does.
You got to get a legitimate defenseman,
exactly.
Like someone who will come here and play, even if it's a different style. I'm okay with a different style.
Right.
But it's got to be someone who you're like, that guy can play 20 minutes for us tonight.
Exactly.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I'm on Orlando getting plus points at home against Dallas. I will lay the points Indiana big in New York, taking on the Knicks. And I'll take the points Memphis, who have been a gritty team at the Lakers tonight. They're getting 11.5. I'll take it. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Big what?
Big excitement. I was reading a tweet from someone who was complimenting me on my peppercorn New York / garlic mash.
That's your go-to?
That's what I roll with, man. You give me a peppercorn New York steak with garlic mashed potatoes.
Let me ask
some vegetables.
And it's the only thing that's needed to know. Do you grab a bite of the steak and then into the mash, and that's a bite?
No. It's all individual biting.
It's separate?
Separate biting.
I don't even want to talk to you right now.
I'll mix and mash once in a while, especially near the end of the meal. You start mixing stuff.
Did your mom ever make, like, pork chops for dinner?
Yeah, of course.
Pork chops, mash, and the cream corn on top of the mash?
Yeah, that was impressive. The only thing that kind
There's no better meal than that.
The only thing that rattled our family at the McLennan household is Stu McLennan, my father, would eat. It would be mashed potatoes, roast beef, corn, everything. Eat the whole thing, and then a piece of cake on top of the plate.
That we've had that conversation. It is so repulsive.
I have no problem with that at all.
It's so disgusting.
It would rattle everyone because
there's gravy and crumbs.
No problem.
Doesn't matter.
Angel food cake right on there, and he'd go to work on it.
The way we ate when we were like preteens, my family were monsters. Like the food would just disappear. We're gonna be around for 30 seconds. A piece of cake or pie.
I know. Remember that when it was so greasy? Like if your family ordered
a pizza?
Yeah, or like something where you'd have to go and kind of serve yourself. Like let's say it was like chicken. Like your mom would grab like a rotisserie chicken. And it would just all be gone by the time your parents got there.
It was like a lion got after it.
Yeah. Literally just take all the best parts and leave.
Breast would be gone.
Yeah,
it'd
be gone. It's like, well, it's not my fault, man. I got up there first.
So funny.
That's how we roll. All right, Monday.
Is a massive,
massive
day.
Trade Center on TSN all day.
Yep.
XFL,
the fastest 10 seconds in sports, week 3. So we got a lot cooking on the horizon here. But we're out of here.
Yep.
Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance a Kicks or Qashqai to receive up to 3 payments on them. Finance rates from 0% on select Qashqais. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.